If you would, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. I do appreciate the special. Matthew chapter 9. This evening we'll find our text in verses 32 through 34 as we continue as best we can to go chronologically through the New Testament. There are no contradictions in the Bible, but not all of the Gospels are put together in the same order, and they don't claim to be. We kind of like to have things nice and neat and tidy and in certain order, but God inspired those things and had them written down in a certain way for a purpose. And we'll see a little bit of that, I think, tonight as we look into Matthew chapter 9. This is just an account of a man being possessed of a demon and being healed. This is the only account of it in Scripture. Matthew gives us a couple of accounts here, the one we looked at last time and this one, of healings that the other Gospels don't record. But as we stand together, if you're able, please, Matthew chapter 9, we'll read just one verse to begin tonight. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, you give us understanding tonight of spiritual healing and how that you work in the lives of those who are oppressed by the devil, even those who are possessed by demons. And Lord, how that we can all learn from this tonight, that you can set us free. God, that you can heal spiritually, that you have power over all the principalities and powers of the air and of this world. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that great power, that you'd help us to trust in it. And Lord, that you would help us to be spiritually clean, to live for you with all our hearts. Please help now. And Lord, I pray for those who are among us that have never repented of their sin and trusted in Christ with all their heart, that tonight they'd be set free, that they cry out to you and receive the gift of eternal life. Please bless, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Matthew chapter 9, we have this account. And if you'll just back up a little bit, I think you can see. Back in verse 27, we studied last time when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." Their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And so remember, as Jesus had gone from one side of the Sea of Galilee to another, and from that side back to the other, and he came, and crowds of people came, and in the midst of all of that, you'll remember how Matthew just gives us one account, one miracle after another. As Jesus comes and is there, and we have those come, and Jairus' daughter is sick unto death, and as they go to see the woman that the issue of blood comes, and in her heart she just says, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I could be healed." And she's healed, and he deals with her. But then in the meantime, Jairus' daughter has died, and they say, "Your daughter's dead. There's no sense in troubling the master anymore." But Jesus says to Jairus, "If you'll just believe, don't be afraid, only believe." And Jesus goes in, and you'll remember how they laughed him to scorn. But he just puts all them out and takes just the mom and the dad and Peter and James with him up, and they go up, and the young girl is brought back to life. And then as they go from there, we have the blind men following and crying out to Jesus, "The Son of David, have mercy on us," and how that they are healed according to their faith. And then another one, as those go out, they bring in a dumb man possessed with the devil. Now, in our King James Bible, it says dumb, and some people have a hard time with that. It just means the man couldn't speak. The word literally means just to be dulled or to be stopped, and it's actually the same word that's used in conjunction with hearing to say that somebody's deaf. A deaf person it has to do with their ears. A dumb person has to do with their mouth. And this person couldn't follow Jesus and cry out to him and say, "Son of David, have mercy on this." This person could not speak. They had become possessed with the devil. The demon that was inside of them kept them from being able to say anything. Now, some of you can imagine how terrifying that would be. I can't imagine how awful it'd be to not be able to talk. I think the way we say it now, that some people have told me that I have the gift of gab, I think that's a nice way of saying you talk too much. I guess I'm guilty of that. My throat's pretty scratchy from church camp, and I can remember just a couple of times in my life that I've had laryngitis, and I woke up and I couldn't say anything. And I remember when I was a kid and that happened to me for the first time, I woke up and I couldn't talk at all, and it panicked me. I remember running into my mom, and I couldn't talk. There was nothing that would come out, and I think she secretly rejoiced. This would be a really nice couple of days. We understand that the devil has power on this earth, that some of the principalities and powers of the air and of this earth and the powers of darkness that be on this earth, they are the devil and his angels and those that are under his influence in the world. And for whatever reason, this man had become possessed with the devil. This man had given himself over to Satan. This man had opened up the door for the devil, and the devil had come in. The devils, the demons had come inside of him, and they had kept him from being able to say anything. And you can imagine his friends obviously loved him and were concerned for him. And though the blind men heard about Jesus coming and they cried out to Jesus, this man couldn't cry out to Jesus. But they had some people in his life that cared enough about him to bring him to Jesus. And friends, I think there's something great for us to learn here, that even those we know that need to come to Jesus, it's not enough for us to sit back and say, "Man, they really need the Lord," or "Man, they really need to get in church," or "Man, they really need Jesus." It's our job to go to them and bring them to Jesus. And I want you to understand when I say that, I'm not saying to go get them to come to church, although that's fine and that's a worthy goal, is to get them to come to church. Ultimately, our goal is to see them saved and baptized and serving in the church, but the first step is to get them to Jesus. And Jesus is available to anywhere. And the way we bring people to Jesus is not necessarily to bring them to church. The way we bring them to Jesus is to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't come to Jesus physically. These people had to get their dumb, demon-possessed friend and bring him to the Lord where he was. But today, you can go to your lost friends and you can take to them the gospel and you can bring Christ to where they are. Amen. We can go to them and we can share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They come to him by faith. I feel like some of you are kind of missing what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to tell you don't invite your friends to church. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to understand that the goal is to take Christ to people. The lost world is of no commandment to come to church. And really, when we gather together as the body of Christ, there's really no place for the world in the church. But the church is not supposed to bring the world in. The church is supposed to go to the world and take Christ to them. Amen. And if we're going to bring our friends to Christ, and certainly maybe none of you would be so bold as to say, "I've got a friend who's certainly possessed with the devil," you could at least say, "I've got some people I know who are strongly under the influence of the devil. I've got some friends who are still sold under sin, and they're dead in their trespasses and sins." I mean, friends, we certainly know people who have been, their lives have been destroyed by Satan. They're in no condition to cry out to the Lord. They're in no condition to seek him out and to follow after him and to cry, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And we've got to go to them and to show them that there is a Savior who loves them, to show them that there is a God who loves them, to show them there is a Savior who died for them, to show them there is a Savior who loves them and has the power to save them. This man had no hope on his own. He had no power on his own, but there were some that brought to him a dumb man possessed of the devil. And we don't know who they are. All I know is this. They loved their friend enough to bring him to Jesus. Amen. They knew the right person to bring him to. And this is a very simple thing here. A lot of times the Bible gives us some more detail, but it says they brought to him a dumb man possessed of the devil, and when the devil was cast out. So we don't know exactly how everything happened. We know the man couldn't cry out to Jesus. We know the man, he had no power to do anything on his own. But we have seen already many times Jesus casting out demons. Let me give you a quick review. Luke chapter 4, verses 35 and 36. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Matthew 12, 22 through 23, we learn, "Then was brought unto him one possessed of the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" In Luke chapter 8 and verse 35, "Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." And we've seen already many instances when Jesus had the power to command the devils. And you'll remember at the maniacs of Gadara, that those men that were demon-possessed, nobody would pass by where they were. Many times people would put them in chains, and they just broke the chains in sunder. I'm just trying to remind you tonight that Jesus could do what no man could do. We see people's lives that are destroyed by drugs and alcohol and all these things. And I believe that those things are a gateway to have the devil come into their life. You see people's lives that are completely consumed. And I just believe when you look at their life, you can see people who are a picture of these demon-possessed people in the Bible. And I know of no reason to think they're not demon-possessed today. And I'm telling you, we've got programs and we've got rehabs and we've got all kinds of help hotlines and all kinds of websites and all kinds of books and all kinds of things. And men have tried to come up with every solution to deliver these people from sin. And I want you to know tonight, there's only one who can deliver people from sin, and his name is Jesus. And they brought this man to Jesus, and the Bible just simply says, "And when the devil was cast out." They brought him to Jesus, and the devil was cast out. And if we can get our friends to Jesus, he can cast the demons out. I want to tell you, the people, when they saw Jesus casting out demons, they said, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits." Well, of course he has authority. He created them. Of course he has the power. He has all power in heaven and earth. Listen, when they're blind, he can make them see. When they can't speak, he can make them talk. And when the people saw that power, they understood something. They said, "Is not this the son of David?" You remember I told you last week that those men, the blind men, crying out to Jesus, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." They understood something of the prophecy. Maybe they didn't trust in him as Messiah yet, but they knew something about the son of David. They knew there was a promise from God that one would come to rule on David's throne forever and ever. There would be one who would come, the son of David, that would establish an eternal kingdom. And see, the power of Jesus over demons demonstrated to the people who he was. And when Jesus comes into the life of someone who has been controlled by the devil, their life has changed. The maniac of the Gadara, who was naked and crazy and wild and cutting himself, was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. This man who had no voice to cry out, this man who couldn't even whisper anything, this man could not say a word to his wife, this man could not look at his children and say, "I love you," this man who couldn't say anything, this man who had no power to control even his own voice, when he was brought to Jesus, now he could speak. This man, now he could say, "Praise the Lord." This man could say, "Blessed be God." This man could give praise to the son of David. This man could go home if he was married and say, "Honey, I'm home and I met a man named Jesus and I can talk now." This man, if he had children, could gather his children around and say, "Kids, I love you. And I want to tell you about a man I met today." See, Jesus changes everything. When the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." Every time we see Jesus do something amazing, there's always a contrasting response. All the people, that kind of just means the regular folks. Just the general public. All the people that gathered around, and they had seen Jesus heal people, and he'd cast out fevers, and he made the blind to see, and he did all these different things, and now he's made this demon-possessed man. He cast out the demon, the man could speak, and all the people marveled and said, "It was never so seen in Israel." And these people were amazed. They marveled at what Jesus could do. The multitudes marveled, but, verse 34, but the Pharisees. It seems like no matter what happens, what God's doing, there's always the Pharisees. And it's nothing new. But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils." Now you'll remember they've already made this argument before, and it won't be the last time they say something like this. And I want you to know what they're doing, dear friend. They're blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God. They are accusing the work of the Holy Spirit of God. They are accusing the Son of God of working through the devil. They're attributing the grace and glory and power and majesty of Jesus to Satan. They are in their heart of hearts, ultimately, fully, and finally rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what the Pharisees wanted to do was deny the power of Jesus altogether. But his miracles were so manifest, his miracles were so public, his miracles were so in everybody's face, they could not deny the miracle. They could not deny the power of God. And so what they had to do was say, "Well, yeah, there's some power going on here, but it's not the power of God. That's the power of Satan." And they accused Jesus by working in the power of the devil. I want you to know that it's no different today because, dear friend, I believe that Jesus is very much alive. And he's very much at work in the world today. And Jesus is still in the business of changing people's lives. He's still in the business of healing people physically, of course, but far more importantly, he's making people who are spiritually blind able to see. He is enlightening their eyes. He's helping people who are in darkness to find the light, and he's helping people who are dumb that have been controlled by the devil. He's setting them free of the power of the devil so that they can see and so that they can speak. He is spiritually changing people's lives and pulling them out of the darkness and pulling them out of the fire. And he is establishing people and giving them a new heart and a new spirit and a new mind and a new life. And the skeptics are still out there, friends, and they say, "Ah, that's not real. Those simple-minded Christians, they got to have something to believe in because they're so simple-minded. And it's not really God, it's just their own willpower. It's not really God, it's just their own faith that they conjured up." And the skeptics are still out there. And they're still trying to deny the power of Jesus. They're still trying to say, "Yeah, there's some good stuff happening, but it's not really God. There's really no power in Jesus. It's just they have that power within themselves." I want to tell you unequivocally tonight, you have no power in yourself. You have no power to heal yourself. You have no power to save yourself. My whole life, I've seen countless bestsellers that are self-help books. And I'm not trying to tell you can't change some things in your life. People have been turning over new leaves as long as there have been leaves. But I'm telling you that it's only a superficial, outward, temporary fix. And in eternity, it will count for nothing. Only when you come to Christ can you have real lasting change. Because Jesus, he doesn't just put a little spackle on the outside. He turns those dry bones into life. He makes us alive. His Spirit quickens us. His Spirit brings us alive. And it's not just some kind of outward showy fix. It's real change from the inside out. He's made me a new creature. He's given me life. He's delivered me from sin and hell and the grave. And dear friend, if you've not been saved, he can deliver you. He can save you. He can give you everlasting life. And if you are saved, you most assuredly know someone who isn't. This account doesn't give us much detail, but it tells us that they brought the man to Jesus, and the demon was cast out, and the man's life was dramatically changed. Amen. That's enough detail for me. Amen. To know that I need to bring my friends to Jesus. And if they'll meet Jesus, he can heal them, and their life will be dramatically and eternally changed. Let's stand together as we get ready for an invitation tonight. I'd like to challenge you this evening. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you know in your heart of hearts tonight, if you were to die, you'd end up in a devil's hell. Friend, Jesus loves you. He has the power to save you. And if you'll repent and trust in him with all your heart, he'll give you everlasting life. He can save you tonight if you'll trust in him. And for all of you who are saved, the challenge tonight is, think of that one. Maybe there's many, but maybe God would just lay one on your heart tonight. One person that you know in your family. One person that you know that you work with. One person that you know that lives down the street. One person that would be on your heart tonight that needs to come to Jesus. I wonder tonight, would you just mention that person to the Lord tonight? Would you pray for that soul to be saved? And when you ask God for the courage and compassion to take the gospel to them, we bring people to Jesus today by taking Jesus to them, by taking the gospel to them. So would you pray for that one tonight? Maybe you pray right where you're at. Maybe you've got a strong enough burden to get on your knees tonight. But come to Christ, or pray that God would help you to bring someone to Christ while we sing.
Page 531.
Number 531.